Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
This life can be everything it seems, everything we dream, anything we desire it to be. This life that is not always smiled. This life, sometimes short on a while. This life, this filled with steady chances, often shy with advances. This life, this incredible life. It's that time again. The date is November 19th, 2013. The time is 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, G.D. Welcome to A Touch of Grace. I pride myself in bringing some of the most talented to Blog Talk Radio, and I am on a quest to see their shine brighter than a supernova racing across a midnight sky. Tonight I bring to you a talented literary light who is the CEO of her own publishing company. Her name is Savannah Jackson, and I'd like to welcome her to A Touch of Grace. Savannah, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am great, and thank you so very much for welcoming me. And I love the poem that you opened with. I love that. This life, aww. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is life. And I have to tell you right now, the other guest that was going to be on, the people reached out and said that it wasn't a good time. So I want to thank you personally on behalf of the listeners and myself for stepping right in and showing that your spirit is tight with right. So how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm enjoying life. I am so excited about the next phase and everything, all the blessings that are in store, you know, just doing great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, let's step back in time to the past where the journey began for you, and how did writing find you?
I was taking some classes at a local university working towards my degree, and one of the classes that I took was an English class, was a literature class, and of course we had to do a lot of writing. And one day after class, my professor pulled me aside, and he asked me had I ever thought about changing my major to English, because he felt that I had talented and that I should pursue writing. Well, I honestly thought he was insane, and I said to myself, okay, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He can't possibly see all of that in me. And so a few years passed, and I got married, and the relationship was rocky. Now, my ex and I are very good friends now, but during that time it was rocky, and I needed some sort of release. I needed something to bring myself some peace of mind. And so I picked up a pencil and a piece of paper, started writing, and it turned into my very first book, Toward the Light. So Toward the Light was born, you can say, out of pain. I wanted to create a world for myself where I could feel good and where I could find happiness and where I could find joy. And after that, after the book came to fruition and was published, I thought about my professor, and I realized that he was right, that inside of me, because I've been singing since I was three, so pretty much my entire life, but I realized that inside of me there was also another part that was creative that was trying to get out, and that was the writer.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. I always love to hear an artist talk about their experience and what actually inspired them to go in the direction of the art that is chosen for them by the great beyond. And so what were the beginning moments of literary life like for you?
quite challenging, because when I would write, I had a full-time job at that time, which I still do, and I did not have a laptop, so all of my work was on paper, and I used
all
a pencil.
Right.
I'm sorry?
I said, all right, you keep on talking. That's how we do it.
Yeah, so I had a paper and a pencil, actually a little notebook, and what I would do is I would write whenever I could, and especially on Saturdays and Sundays, I would take my son, who was a little boy back then, to a park on the other side of town because he wanted to be a skateboarder. So I would take him to this park, and while he skated, I would sit on a bench and write. And like I said, it was quite challenging. It took me, I think, about 3 years to finish my first book because I didn't have a lot of time. I didn't have a lot of know-how. I didn't have a lot of guidance. So I had what was on the inside of me, what was placed there by the Creator. That was my guide. And this desire to just put down what I felt and what I saw in my mind to be toward the light, to be my first book.
God, you segued into that just so beautiful. And I know that you have the sequel, The Prodigal Son. Did you find it easier to write the sequel as opposed to the first one?
I would say the answer to that is yes and no. And I'll start with no. There was not going to be a sequel to Toward the Light. I felt that I had put my heart and soul into that. It was my firstborn. I was excited about it. And I was going to go on and do something totally different. And so I had some ladies read it that were part of a small book club. And they had me over, and they asked me, was there going to be a sequel? And I told them no. And they said, well, this book needs a sequel. And so I thought about it for a while, and I said, you know, why not? Now, the challenging part of a sequel, I believe, is a sequel has to outdo the prequel. Because to me, there's nothing more disappointing than reading a book and then reading the follow-up, the sequel, and it's not as good. So I knew it had to be twice as good. The yes part is because I had already written a first book, so I knew a little bit more about what I was doing. So it flowed a little bit easier. It didn't take me as long. I found a nice little coffee shop not very far from my home, and I would go there when I got off from work and on my days off and just sit and write. They didn't care how long I stayed. I'd buy a cup of coffee, and they'd come by and offer me a Danish or ask me if I needed anything else. And that made it great because I had a wonderful atmosphere in which I could create. And I was away from home and away from distractions. So it was easier to pen than the first one.
Okay. And I know that in writing sequels, because I wrote two from my second book that I released, the difficult part for me was trying to keep the time sequencing together and, you know, adding of additional people into the book. So what were your difficulties in, or if there were any difficulties for you when writing that second book? Did it just, you said it flowed, but did you have to go back and reread Toward the Light?
I did. I had to go back and reread Toward the Light, really throughout the whole penning of The Prodigal Son. And I did it with, I took a copy of the book, but I also had my notes. And I would go back because in the sequel, The Prodigal Son, the young lady that comes back, she moves away and she comes back. She comes back as an adult. And so I had to make sure that her features were the same, only older.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And her sense of style had changed. I had to show that she had really not only become a woman, but her own woman. And in the first book, Toward the Light, it takes place in Richmond because we all know a writer, we write what we know.
Right.
And I had lived here for a while, so it was easy for me to have Richmond as the backdrop. But I had her move to New York because I felt that that would be a great place for her to find herself. And so when she came back as this beautiful, mature woman. And then I had to introduce some other characters, not many, but there were a couple other characters that I had to introduce. And I had to make sure that their voices were strong enough to stand alone
with this young lady that came back.
I like
how you explained that journey. It's just very composed, and you're absolutely right, you know, because we do age. And did you find it challenging? I mean, what state of mind did you put yourself in? Did you visualize her and then start writing? How did that come about?
I did. I visualized what I felt she would look like as a young woman. And so I tried to describe that, her complexion, her hair, her eyes, her makeup, the way that she dressed, and how progressive she was. And to contrast that, she had a best friend in Toward the Light that she left behind when she went away to college. Mm-hmm. And so when she came back to her best friend had not changed. So what I had to do was I had to pull her best friend into the future with, her name is Aisha, but the best friend, the dress hadn't changed, same clothing, just bigger because she was an adult. Her life, she was trapped in the life that Aisha left her in. And so that part was a little bit challenging, but what I did was I actually took on the mindset of Aisha and found a way to help her help Brandy, who was her best friend, if that makes sense. So that was a challenge because I had to keep Brandy in the past and Aisha in the future and then bridge them so that Aisha could inspire her friend to do better.
That's beautiful. And so I know that, you know, you had the Towards the Light, you had the Prodigal Son, which sounds very interesting. It sounds like a evolutionary story and a relationship. You have also three other releases, Behind Closed Doors, The Prey, and Raising Tristan. Now, is Raising Tristan the most current one that you have out right now?
It is.
And what is Raising Tristan about?
Raising Tristan is about a single father, and Raising Tristan was inspired by a young man who is a friend of mine. I used to work with Head Start, which is a wonderful program, and this young man was one of the parents when I used to work with them, and I think at the time his son was maybe either five or I don't think he was six because he'd be too old. So he must have been about four or five, maybe even three. And I was so impressed with the job that he was doing raising his young son and how involved he was in his child's life. And he would come to these parent meetings. And I started thinking about how single fathers really don't get a lot of recognition.
Right.
They're out there and they're doing as good a job as single mothers raising their children, but we just don't hear about them and we just don't talk about them. And so I wrote the story based on the admiration that I have for this young man. It's not his story. It's totally fiction, but he inspired it. And I have dedicated it to him and single fathers everywhere, just so that, like, even in my introduction, I talk about how we see the single fathers out and about. They may be at the grocery store, maybe at the playground, and we think that there's a woman somewhere in their life when most of the time there's not. It's just them and their children.
I love how insightful you are, and you think. And the best writers to me are thinkers, and it's definitely a gift to be able to put yourself in a position to be able to write from the perspective of someone that is another sex. You know, I think it's great. Now, we talked a little bit about the creative part and the books, but I also want to talk about your being CEO of Savannah J Publications. Can you talk to us a little bit about the year it was founded and how Savannah J Publications came to be?
Yes, my first book, Toward the Light, is actually going to be redone and republished. But it was done under one of the, I guess you can say, vanity presses, because I was really excited about it and in a hurry to get it out. And so I got it out that way, and then I wanted to, like any new writer, I wanted to submit it to some publishing houses and go after that big book deal, because the one thing that I did not understand when I launched my first book is how much work it takes. A lot
right.
of people think that the difficult piece is writing the book, but it's not. It's the marketing and getting it into a reader's hands. So I didn't understand that. So I had this great book, which I still believe it's a great book, and I just knew that all I had to do was get it in the hand of a traditional publisher, and I was on my way. Well, of course, the rejection letters come.
Oh,
and
yes,
so
indeed.
With my second
yes,
book, I said, I'm going to try to do this myself. And I had some friends, some other writer friends, and we talked about it, and they helped me, and I searched the internet, and I found a printer, and I had some people to help me with editing. A friend of mine stepped up, and he offered to do the book covers for me. So I was able to put together my own little team and launch Savannah J Publications. I researched taking it a little bit further, so it is an LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I've actually published another author, but that I'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyway, I was able to pull it all together, and so that I could publish my books, and what I wanted was control. Because the other thing I didn't realize with traditional publishing is a lot of times the authors don't have control of their work.
Ooh.
Yeah, they submit it,
and then that
company's team of editors and whatnot come in, and they may change it.
You know, that's the big thing about us self-publishing and doing it yourself. I know that in the music industry, the artist known as Prince, he actually went through that, and actually quite a few of them did, to where, you know, their creative juices were really stifled because other people wanted to come in and change their vision based on, you know, marketing mm-hmm. and based on sales. So that's definitely something that is in all forms of art. And for those who are listening, I am talking to the wonderful Savannah Jackson of Savannah J Publications. Her website is thesavannahjpublications.com. And because time is running out, I wanted to get a couple of things in here so that you'll know just how wonderful this woman is, beautiful. There's the annual Authors Literary Festival. Then she was featured on Virginia This Morning on TV6 for WTVR and interviewed by Cheryl Miller. And she also is associated with the National Coalition of 100 Black Women in Northern Virginia chapter, BookBib. And so with all those things coupled together, I just wanted to find out, how did you get involved with all of these wonderful places?
Well, the literary festival came to be because a young lady here in the Central Virginia area put together a small book fair. And she called it the African American Book Festival. And she invited me and 9 other authors. There were 10 of us. And it was her first one, and it was small. But we were so excited, we wanted her to do it again. And so we reached out to her. Now, I thought I was the only one reaching out at the time. But when we talked about it later, I found out I was not. And I think there were three or four of us that reached out to her, and she did not respond. And so I thought about it. I said, you know what? Why not me?
All right.
Why don't I put something together? And so I did. And the first year I put it together, it was at a small bookstore. The authors were happy and excited. It was so packed in that bookstore that we literally almost could not walk.
And they
were so excited, and they said the only thing that they wanted for the next year, because they wanted me to do it again, was more space. And so I took it to a hotel. And that is how the that's how the literary festival was birthed. With the 100, the National Coalition, I did a book fair in Manassas, Virginia. Myself, it was me along with two other authors, and people came by and they were talking to us about our books. And this one woman came by, she got our cards, and she was obviously impressed with us because that book nook is by invitation only. And she invited me and one of the other authors that were with us, two of the three of us were invited. And it was an incredible experience, incredible. And I met her again. She came by at the end and reintroduced herself and said that she would stay in touch and let me know when they have other events. So that was huge for me. Very humbling.
Wow. I'm saying wow because I'm just in awe. And then you went on. Is the Cheryl Miller that interviewed you, is that Reggie Miller's sister?
I'm not sure. She has been an anchor with that particular television station since I've been in Virginia, and I've been here for over 30 years. And she's one of the lead anchors. And we went on to be interviewed by her to talk about the literary festival. And that was a great experience as well.
It sounds like it really was. And the one thing that I want the listeners to know is that, you know, in addition to be a beautiful novelist, and she's Savannah is very much an innovator and a visionary and fearless. You know, you said it yourself in both instances, and that's doing the bus and then these festivals. You said, why not me? And a lot of the times, we don't do that enough. And so the question I have for you, how has writing enriched your life?
Wow. Writing, it's so much a part of who I am. I have a day job because we all have to pay our bills.
You got that
and
right.
My day job, which I actually work at night, I take care of premature babies at night. I work 12-hour night shifts. And I've been doing that for about 30 years. And I really enjoy my job. It takes a lot of dedication and hard work. But the creative side of me is what causes me to thrive. And I believe if I did not have my writing, I don't know if I could make it. I don't know if someone took away the creative side of me, I don't know how I would even function. Because I think daily about different ideas and different things that I can do. One of the things that I want to do in the very near future, I have a sister that passed away of ovarian cancer, and I want to use everything I've learned through writing and hosting the literary festival and pulling that together to launch a nonprofit to raise awareness for ovarian cancer, because we don't hear a lot about that. What we hear about is breast cancer, but what a lot of women don't know is ovarian cancer is one of the most deadly forms. And so that's all a part of the creative side of me, because I can take what I've learned from launching the festival and pulling authors together and booking sites and hotels and things like that and study about nonprofit and pull that all together. So that's still all a creative, the creative side of me. And then like I said earlier, I helped another author publish his first book. And in the future, I'd be willing to do that again. I just don't have time right now because it takes a tremendous amount of time. So all of that is really tied in to my writing and even still sometime my singing as to be exactly who I am, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, it definitely makes sense. And I just have to tell you, with all that you have experienced in life, with this literary magic thing that you've got going on, it sounds very much like a spiritual avenue for you. So is it a spiritual experience for you when you're doing all of these things? What's going on inside of you as you're doing all of this?
It is spiritual. It's very spiritual for me, and I feel very, very connected to God. I call my higher power God when I'm writing. I feel very connected, and I experience a joy that I could not explain if I tried. Just when I take my laptop and I go to a coffee shop, because I do better when I'm away from home, I go to a coffee shop, it's not always the same one, and I sit and I write. I feel 10 feet tall. It's beyond happiness. It truly is joy that it brings me. And to be able to create and to share, and when someone reads one of my books and they email me or get me on the phone or bump into me and tell me how much they enjoyed it and how happy it made them, that makes me feel so good.
Oh, wow. Well, you're definitely making me feel good here on A Touch of Grace. You're just incredible. So I ask this of all my guests, and the time is like 3 minutes, and time certainly does fly. At the end of the journey, when all is said and done, well, how would you like to be remembered, Miss Savannah Jackson?
I would like to be remembered for someone who inspired, because it's not all about me. It's about reaching back and making sure that there is a legacy, making sure that someday some young person will wake up and say, I remember when she told me that I could. I remember when she told me not to give up, because I was raised by a mother who would not allow me to give up. She just wouldn't. And so that's what I try to pass on to people that I meet along the way. I would like to be remembered for my laugh. I'm told I have a great laugh. And I would like to be remembered for someone who made somebody smile. You know, that's important. That's very, very important. I would like to be remembered for the joy that my books bring, maybe somebody that heard me sing one day, the joy that that brings, and just knowing that I've left this world a better place, even if it's just touching one person.
Well, I think even that's
beautiful. Even if
it's
just one.
And I have to tell you right now, it just flows from you. You just delight, a light from the great beyond. Listeners,
Thank you. We
just interviewed Savannah Jackson of Savannah J. Publications. If you want to get her books, it's at the SavannahJPublications.com to support the work and get inspired. Savannah, I want to thank you for stopping by A Touch of Grace. You certainly are now a friend of A Touch of Grace. If there's anything that I could do to promote your work, you let me know.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome. And listeners of A Touch of Grace, this is the bow at the end of the show. Everyone, happy holidays. Love, and make sure you cherish those you're with. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.